Napa know-how.
There are lots of amazing cars on the road, but perhaps none more amazing than the paid-off car. It may not be pretty, but the price is right. Heck, if you keep that thing running, it'll actually start paying you. Because with Napa Rewards, for every $100 you spend, you'll get $5 off. So keep your car running longer, stronger with Napa Rewards and watch the savings start rolling in. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. Also writer over at BourbonStreetShots.com. Coming to you guys on this Tuesday, day of the Pelicans' final home game in the Smoothie King Center this season. And I say final because, frankly, all Portland needs to do is win one game, or the Pelicans need to lose one to be out of playoff contention. So I think it's not going to be, you know, extra home games for the Pelicans in the Smoothie King Center. So enjoy this one tonight. It's going to be the last time you're going to see Davis and Cousins in person on the court for a little while as we head to this very critical offseason for your New Orleans Pelicans. We're not going to really talk much about that today. I'll preview the game for you guys in the second half of the podcast. But in the first half, I do want to address some of the recent rumors that have been swirling around this team, and they center around one name. And it's not a player, you know, as you might think. Maybe they're going to chase someone in free agency. You know, it does. The rumors don't circle around Drew Holiday either. It's about one guy, and you've heard his name for years, and that's Joe Dumars. Before we start talking about the rumors, though, and what they might mean for this New Orleans Pelicans team, are they true or not? Don't forget, Locked On Pelicans is available on iTunes, on Audioboom, wherever podcasts are found. Please subscribe to it so you get it right away. You don't need to go searching for the link. It'll come right to your phone, to your email, wherever you have it being sent. It's also on Facebook. There's a page for it. Please give it a like. Please follow it on Twitter. It's at Locked On Pels. Pretty easy to remember. You know, it's 5 days a week for you guys coming to you. Only podcast doing it like this. So please, you know, liking it on Facebook, following it on Twitter is one of the ways we can keep it free 5 days a week for you. So Joe Dumars, and this is a name that's been rumored for a while with the Pelicans. You know, it's starting to heat up a little bit more right now as we get towards this offseason where the Pelicans are going to evaluate this franchise from top to bottom. They'll evaluate General Manager Dell Demps. His job certainly isn't safe even after making the trade for DeMarcus Cousins. Neither is Alvin Gentry as head coach going to be safe because, again, even though they're playing well right now, when they were largely healthy to start the year, especially once they got Drew Holiday back, they weren't exactly a lights-out playoff team. And the reason that Gentry and Demps really got another chance for this year was that all of the injuries last season on what they truly believed was a playoff team, bringing everyone back. But the injuries just derailed that. And, you know, this year when you finally get everyone healthy, they weren't particularly good. It's going to call into question both of these guys, and hence the Dumars rumors. And I really kind of hate to almost be talking about this, but they must be addressed. And Dumars, again, there's been a lot of smoke regarding him for years now. Years, going back to the Monty Williams era, a year or two before he was let go. But there's been no actual fire. And one of the reasons I say that is the people who are reporting on it, I don't necessarily trust. It's easy to say sources told you something and just to kind of float something out there that might get you some attention. And I think some of it, to be fair, is that. Not entirely, but it says league sources. This isn't source within the Pelicans. This is other teams around the league just speculating. Well, we heard how much they were speculating about DeMarcus Cousins, and they were all wrong there. And the Pelicans aren't really a team that leaks anything. The Monty Williams firing came out of nowhere. Everyone was just blown away by it breaking on Twitter. I was in the middle of doing a radio interview when I saw it pop up on my computer and broke it on the news that way to all of them. And, you know, no lead up to it. The DeMarcus Cousins trade, yeah, it leaked about 30 minutes before the trade was finalized. So again, they don't really leak things. And one guy who actually doesn't have ties into the organization is Woj over at Yahoo, who's, you know, the king of breaking all of this. And Joe Dumars is his buddy. Don't forget the NBA, when he was president of Detroit, fined Dumars like a quarter of a million, something like that, an insane number, six figures, because he was leaking stuff to Woj. They had to trap him by sending Dumars differently spelled and worded press releases than other teams, so that when Woj just published it, they knew exactly who did it. He's tied to Woj. Woj hasn't reported on any of this. And if there was going to be any news to report about Joe Dumars, especially now when Dumars can't get fined for it, it would come through Woj, you would imagine. But there's been not a peep from that. So that's why I don't put a lot of speculation into this right away. But let's talk about Dumars. And is there a fit here? Should, you know, he come in to replace general manager Dell Demps? And the biggest thing with Dumars is he did win a title in Detroit and took that team to six straight Eastern Conference Finals. And he did it with an unconventional roster. There were no superstars. That whole team as a whole was greater than the sum of its parts. And they beat that Kobe and Shaq team that also had Karl Malone, Gary Payton, and was just laden with superstars. Two of them were, you know, aging and past their primes, but still, Kobe and Shaq on that incredible run they had in Los Angeles. But after that, you know, he managed to build a team one time. After that, they missed the playoffs in the final 5 years of his tenure there. And he went through five different head coaches during that time, while he also gave out some very bad contracts. Think Josh Smith, who was untradeable for a very, very long time. Charlie Villanueva, that was a bad one. And Ben Gordon. So his tenure in Detroit was a bit of a mixed bag. It was good. They won a title. They had very long, sustained playoff success, something New Orleans would kill for. But also towards the end, oh boy, did it fall apart. And a lot of that had to do with Dumars not really being open to the way the NBA was changing. He was very against analytics, something I don't fully believe in, and that's how you should run your team. I believe it's a mix of looking at the analytics and the eye test and seeing where they match up, and if they don't, diving into it. And one day maybe I can give you guys my approach on how I look at everything. But largely the game did pass him by. He was not open to looking at analytics to find out other players and the best way to have a team coached and the right way to build a roster. And you're seeing a lot of success with that currently in the league. The Sixers, who have one of the brighter futures, are doing it. So is Houston, who looks like a potential dark horse to make the NBA Finals. The Warriors build through analytics as well. So there's a lot of sustained success, and if he's not going to embrace that, the Pelicans, whether fairly or unfairly, are largely seen as kind of behind the times when it comes to a lot of things like that, though they do value analytics very much so. That's not necessarily the type of person you want running the franchise who failed to adapt early on. But he does have some success, and you know that's certainly a thing you have to keep in mind. Now, before we continue talking about Joe Dumars and the current general manager, Dell Demps, I do want to say that your company could be right here. Sponsor Locked On Pelicans, and your company will reach a passionate 98% male audience that is 78% between the ages of 18 and 44, and 75% from 25 to 54. Recent studies have shown that podcast listeners are 65% more likely to interact with sponsors than other forms of media. So you're getting the target demographic you want and getting a higher penetration rate with these customers or potential customers. You know, get your company great exposure right here on Locked On Pelicans. Rates are very reasonable and based solely on the number of listeners, so you get your value. Email me. It's jake@bourbonstreetshots.com. jake@bourbonstreetshots.com to get started today for your company on Locked On Pelicans. So while Dumars might come in as a team president type of role, replacing Mickey Loomis, who says he doesn't really have much to do with the Pelicans and that the media largely overblows his role with the team, it seems like Dumars would rather be a GM and making the personnel decisions rather than overseeing the franchise from top to bottom. So the question is, does Dell Demps really deserve to be fired? Will he be fired? And he certainly didn't save his job by making the DeMarcus Cousins trade. This Pelicans team in the Anthony Davis era, without a doubt, should have had more playoff success and more winning records and won more games despite all of the injuries. There's no question about that, that basically right now Dell Demps' tenure, despite this Cousins trade, looks worse than it looks good. You know, and this year, he's made some questionable moves. You can look at the Solomon Hill signing for 12, 13, 14 million, whatever the exact details of the contract are, for a guy who's given you about 6 points a game and a guy who, over his career, really wasn't averaging that much. That looks like an overpay despite the good defense, because the Pels, frankly, play 4-on-5 on offense at times. The Omri Caspi move to actually like try and acquire him, want him, and then to waive him despite the guys they replaced him with not playing and losing out on his bird rights to potentially bring him back on a cheaper contract and give him an advantage over other teams is, while not the be-all end-all of this, still a bit of a questionable move. But he's also evaluated fringe talent quite well. Think of Dante Cunningham a few years ago where he was brought in mid-season and he had some issues. But, you know, which all turned out to be fake and everything, by the way, the domestic violence issues he was having. He ended up being a great signing. Look at a guy like Michael Jordan, Instant Grits Crawford this year. We thought that move was terrible. Why are they bringing in this 28-year-old? Why wouldn't you go after a younger guy, an undrafted guy who's playing in the D League? Crawford has been a key part of this team playing well recently. So it's going to be tough. I think the Pelicans are going to look at this and, you know, have to evaluate it and make a tough decision on Dell Demps. It sounds like his contract is for longer than after this year. So you've got to pay him if you get rid of him. That might not be something they want to do. So it's going to be an interesting decision for the Pelicans. When it comes to Dumars, though, like I said in the beginning, I'm not entirely sure about this. Just being truthful or these rumors meaning anything whatsoever, it wouldn't be the worst move, though every time I hear Joe Dumars, all I can think of is the picture of him holding two cell phones and like trying to make trade. I don't even know. It's just pretty nuts. So it makes me a little bit nervous about him. But he has had success building a team. He did it with an unconventional, at the time, roster. And right now, this Pelicans team is a bit unconventional going against the in vogue thing of playing small and playing faster, even though the Pels still play faster. But he's got two bigs. That's not something most teams do anymore. So maybe he can capture that lightning in a bottle one more time. Quickly, before I wrap up the podcast, tonight, the final home game in New Orleans this season for Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins. Last chance to really get out there and cheer for this team. And it's a rematch with the Denver Nuggets. And, you know, likely the Pelicans are out of the playoffs. They need Portland to lose all of their remaining games while the Pelicans win all of their remaining ones. But if that wasn't the case, the Pels absolutely would have had to win this one to try and get into playoff contention, given that at the time, they're not anymore. Denver was in the eighth seed, which is now going to go to Portland, who's 9-1, by the way, in their last 10 games. In this game, when they played last time on the road, it was Sunday, March 26th. Pelicans absolutely dominated, winning 115-90. First time that high-powered Denver Nuggets offense had actually been held below 100 points since back in like December or something. And the Pelicans did it exactly kind of the way they wanted to do it. They played well in transition, got just enough fast break points, didn't turn the ball over at all. And when they did turn it over, their defense was absolutely stifling. Denver scored only 4 points off of the Pelicans' turnovers on the night. The Pelicans cleaned up on the defensive glass, grabbing something like 87% of the defensive rebounds available, giving Denver just 4 second chance points. They contested everything Denver did. If you look at their numbers in the player tracking, they shot 36.7% on contested shots because the Pels were keeping them out of the paint where those good contested shots are attempted and contesting every jumper that Denver tried to do, basically shutting them down in their game plan and what they wanted to do. If the Pels do this again, rebound really well, and just kind of shut Denver out like that, they're going to have a good chance of winning. It was a really great test for this Pelicans defense. It'll be nice to see if they can do it again. Again, they contested Denver on everything. Denver on the night shot 37.9%. So we'll see if they can get it done again. Win or lose, though, you just want to see more improvement from Davis and Cousins, which we've been seeing, even though they both kind of had a bit of a weird off night the other night on Sunday against the Bulls. I think they're going to rebound, play their style, which is grab defensive boards, get out and score in transition with Cousins as the trailing man. So it should be a lot of fun. Always, you know, nice to enjoy the final home game of the season. After this one, it's only 4 more games left. So enjoy these final 5 games and final single home game while you can. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Don't forget, I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Game tonight. Enjoy it, like I said. Win or lose, I'll be back with you all tomorrow to recap it. And we'll cover, you know, everything you need the rest of the week. We're going to be talking some D-League, check Diallo a little bit. I'm excited. Should be a lot of fun. We're going to have some great content for you here on Locked On Pelicans as the season winds down. So enjoy the game, and I'll be back with you guys to recap it tomorrow.